This is your brother, Mr. Jim Baker.
Thank you. I'd like just to pick up where our brother has left off in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Perhaps before we do read that, we should look at 22, just for a moment. Chapter 22. Sorry. Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now this verse is actually telling us that there is a series actually of statements that are folding up at verse 8 of this chapter. I, John, saw these things and heard them. Now turn back, please, to chapter 19. And we're going to see that here are the final, is a final list of statements that tell us what John saw. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Over that tonight I want to place the word manifestation. Manifestation. We'll come back to it. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. The label here is devastation. Devastation. Look down at verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The word here is retribution. Retribution. Chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. The word here is incarceration. Incarceration. Look down, please, to verse 4 of chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Vindication is the word here. Look over to verse 11 of the same chapter. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Dissolution. Look at verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, condemnation. condemnation. And our final word is restitution, verse 1 of 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Restitution. And that will exhaust what we've got to look at, but we'll be very brief with them. Don't worry, we won't go over the time. In chapter 19 and verse 11, that our brother has brought to us just at the end of his very helpful and lovely ministry on the garments, we have seen the heaven has opened, and the white horse has appeared, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. There is absolutely no doubt as to who is here. It is the Christ of God, our blessed Lord. He has been seen amongst men. He has lived that lowly life. He has been amongst men, and he has taken the lowest place. But this is the day of his manifestation. Wonderful thing to know that the blessed Savior we've rested by faith upon. We love him. We come to meet every Lord's Day morning and to think of him and to celebrate his death and to remember his life. And what a blessed thing it is to do all those wonderful things. But he's now in heaven at God's right hand. But in the passage that we were looking at even just yesterday in Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, he says, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Here it is. Look at verse 11. I saw the heaven opened. He saw the white horse, and our blessed Lord, the faithful and true, in righteous, that is one of the great titles at the beginning of the book of our Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. What a blessed thing we are thinking of today. The crowned Christ in that coming day. We sometimes sing, sinners in derision crowned him, mocking thus the Savior's claim. Saints and angels crowd around him. Own his blessed. What the wonder of his person. And here we have it today. He is the one who will come in manifestation. Wonderful to read in verse number 12, his eyes as a flame of fire. On his head many crowns, a name written that no man knew but he himself. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God. There's absolutely no doubt his identity is made patently clear. He is the Christ of God, and in that coming day he'll come in manifestation. But notice, please, what else there is. We read in these same verses what a wonderful thing it is to know that in verse 14 we read, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Many times we live our lives and we wonder just when the end will be. And then we think, was it worth it? And we get discouraged sometimes. But you know, it's good sometimes for us to turn to the Word of God. There's every means of helping us in all our difficulties. And in a verse like this, what a comfort it is to know that the day is coming when the man who went to the lowest place is going to be at the highest place. And the amazing thing is that the saints of God of the present day will be with him. You say now, how do you know that? Look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, if you'll just cast your eye for a moment back in the chapter, in the same chapter, and if you would look, please, at verse number 8, you will see. It tells us there that maybe we should just read perhaps from verse 6. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, of the saints. Brethren and sisters, it has often been said that we are now weaving the garment that we will wear in that day. And we will indeed be seen in manifestation with Christ who will come. The figure changes when we turn down to the verses that we have just finished reading. And in verse 14, they're now depicted as our armies. I believe that this is the same company, but a new figure. He's going to come out from heaven. We will go up into heaven at the rapture, taken home to be with Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to know we'll be with him. And when he comes, he said, in John chapter 14, he said, where I am, there ye may be also. Wherever he is, we are going to be. And when he is in heaven, we'll be there with him. And when he comes to earth, in the day of this manifestation that we have before us tonight, we will be with him. And we will share his glory. What a wonderful thing it is. And so we see the great truth of manifestation. You know, it's so wonderful to see in these verses. You look at verse 15, for instance, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the day of manifestation. Now, I'll try not to speak as long as that on the other ones. I want you just to notice, please, now at verse number 17, we turn from the word manifestation and we come to devastation. In verse 17, brother, I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. What a day of devastation that will be, and the very fowls of the air will eat the flesh of those who have been taken in the great war that will take place when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to earth. And we have devastation. But I want to talk to you briefly now about retribution. These are just little pegs, and you can think about them again perhaps if you're interested in it. Look what we read, and I saw the beast. You know there are two beasts in Revelation chapter 13. And here we have the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. When Christ comes, the beast will still be active just at that time. But notice what it says. The beast was taken, with him the false prophet. There's the two that are in Revelation chapter 13. And notice what it says, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Brethren and sisters, thank God we're on the victor's side. Thank God we're going to be with the man that will bear the glory. And not only will he bear the glory, but he'll take captive all that is against God. At the cross, the Bible says that he defeated him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The great victor, the victory has been wrought at the cross. And yes, these great forces against God have been allowed their way. But now the Bible, at the end of its book, is showing to us the wonder of it, that there's going to be final victory seen in the person of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Retribution. I saw the beast and their armies gathered together to make war. But the beast was taken, the false prophet that wrought miracles, and these were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Retribution. I tell you, it will be righteous retribution. There'll be nothing unrighteous in the way that Christ works. our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And come now to verse 1 of chapter 20. And we come to number 4. And the word is incarceration. That is putting into prison, if you like. But I've just used the word as it has the same sound as all my other words tonight. And I want you to see in verse number 20, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Look at these titles now that come in verse 2. It says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. You can't make any mistakes about who this is. This is Satan, and this is what is going to be his end in that sense. Look what we're reading now in these remarkable verses, how it tells us he laid hold upon him and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal. It's not for completely, of course. He's going to be released at the end of 1,000 years. We have been discussing some of these things, and these passages came before me that if there was perhaps a time when I would take a little part in the meeting, it might help us to see some of the filling in some of the gaps that we were considering in our thoughts in 2 Peter chapter 3. And so you can see now as we're looking, and it says in these verses, it says he was cast into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. That, and after that, he must be loosed a little season. Just can I just put this into your mind? Some won't have read these things as much as others, but we should understand there is going to be 1,000-year period. Don't you believe anybody that says they are amillennialists. There's no such a thing as amillennialism, because there's going to be a millennium. And that period of 1,000 years is going to be a wonderful time on earth. When the wolf will lie down beside a lamb. You never saw it, did you? But you'll see it then. Wonderful. And how that the desert will blossom like the rose. And there'll be wonderful conditions. You see, men say, my problem is the Satan. He's always tempting me. God says, right, I'll put him in the bottom of the pit. And then others say, you know, my problem is the environment. Well, God says, I'll give you a perfect insight. And everything that men say, I'm not going to go through it now, but you'll see it, that God answers it. And yet there's going to be at the end of that, there's going to be a release. That's what it means when it says, he must be loosed a little season. And when he is loosed, he'll lead an insurrection against God again. It shows to us that Satan will never change. He'll never change. He will eventually go into the place of eternal doom. And we see here, cast into the bottomless pit, incarceration. That's the 1,000 years. Now come with me, please, to verse 4. And I saw, I hope you're noticing, what I'm trying to do is trace through what is completed in that verse that I read right at the very beginning. Do you remember in chapter 22? John saw these things and heard them. This is the end of a series of 8 statements. I saw. Notice now here it is in verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. We don't know how terrible maybe is going to be the persecution of many saints before Christ comes. We don't know that. We don't know. But we do know that history has shown it. You know, I took you over to Bonnie Scotland, where I live these days. I'm an Englishman, of course. But you know, it's an amazing thing when you can be taken into some of the graveyards there and see some of those tombs of the Covenanters. People who stood, one stood out on the seashore. And you know, her husband was taken, and they slew him because he wouldn't recant his faith in Christ. And they slew him before her eyes. And then they said, what do you think of your husband now? She said, I loved him greatly before he did it. But she said, I'll think more of him now. You see, brethren, these were people who lived for Christ. and they knew what it was to suffer, but the day of victory is going to come. A wonderful thing our Bible shows to us, not only the beginning only, but it shows us the end as well. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given. And he said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's going to be a great day of vindication? That's the word I've used, vindication. Let me turn over, please, to the same chapter, but at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Dissolution. I want to link it to the next one. Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I have noticed that from time to time in these meetings, it has been brought to the attention of an audience even like this, that there could be someone here tonight not saved. Never has been the time when you have acknowledged to God you're a sinner. Never have you had the experience yet of telling God, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Friend, tonight, you neglect your precious soul. You could be here. You could be here one day. It's a solemn thing. The word is condemnation. I am glad there's a verse in the Bible that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Wonderful thing to know you're saved. I thank God as a boy of 8. I knelt one morning, Monday morning, in the year 1942. I nailed down by my mother's bedside and took Christ as my Savior. And I've never regretted it yet. Wonderful thing to be saved, to be cleansed from the guilt of your sin. And what a wonderful thing it would be, what a conference it would end to be, if some souls got saved tonight, realizing the awful danger. We don't know when these things are going to commence, but we know it's all here, and it's the word of God, and it's true. And beloved friend tonight, remember this, condemnation. And then we turn to the last of all these. And in verse number 1 of chapter 21, I have called this restitution. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Number 8 is always linked with the fresh beginning in the Bible. That's been noted this week already. We've only been here 2 days, but there's been a lot of things said, isn't it? Wonderful thing, you know, when we get around the Word of God and we listen to those who are teaching it. And here it is, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What wonderful prospects lay for the believer in Christ. You know, I was touched as I listened to our brother in his ministry just now and thought again, and if the way was open, how it would help us to bring that little bridge. I trust that God will help it. But listen, if you're not saved, your greatest need is Christ as Savior. Provision has been made. The Bible says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." God is able to bring you salvation tonight through faith in the blessed man who died upon the tree. He bore the judgment of God against sin, sin that was not his own. He could not sin. He would not sin. And he's exalted at God's right hand, and he'll be the prime mover in that coming day of glory. We trust that the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts.
Our Father, humbly and reverently we bow before thee at this time in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee, O God, for this conference which has almost come to an end for this year. We do pray that all present will indeed at the different sessions will be blessed as a result of what went forth. We thank thee for a real sense of the Lord's presence with us. And we thank for the help experienced by our brethren who either ministered the word or spoke in the Bible readings. And we just pray indeed that all will be blessed. We thank thee for each and every person who is present here at this moment, but we think very especially of those who are unable to be here. There are those who are well on in years and very frail. And there are others who have family commitments. And then there are those who are not well. We commend them all to thee. And we pray, O God, that it may please thee to draw graciously near to them. And those who are suffering, we pray that it may please thee to put thy healing and restoring hand upon them and raise them up to the wanted health and strength once again. We bring before thee also those who have been recently bereaved. We would ask thee, O God, that thou wouldst indeed draw graciously near to them and undertake for them in every respect. We pray, O God, that it may please thee to comfort and sustain them. And as a result of this dear sister being called home, we pray that it may indeed be a loud voice to some who are not saved. O God, we believe the Lord is coming soon, and how important it is to be ready. So we pray, O God, that in these circumstances that there will be those who will turn and accept Christ as their Saviour. We think very especially of loved ones. Likely all who are gathered here tonight have loved ones who are not saved. We pray, O God, that it might please thee in some way to take a dealing with them. Reach out and save them, we do pray. Complete family circles ere thy day of grace draws to a close. Now again, we thank thee for our coming together, and as we leave this place, we do pray, O God, that it might please thee to part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, and take us to our homes in safety, and be pleased to accept of our very best thanks for all thy goodness and all thy kindness to us, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now our closing hymn will be number 733, "Our Lord is Now Rejected, and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in glory, the hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by." Now I think we're closing in good time. We would have time to sing the whole hymn, number 733, standing please.
Our Lord is now rejected.